Say, I trust you. Okay, I believe that the word trust is just as important as the word forgive. And from the pulpit, you'll hear us talk about forgiveness all the time, constantly. I don't think you can preach on forgiveness too much. I think it needs to be talked about over and over and over again, because forgiving somebody is difficult. But I'm here to tell you that trusting people is just as difficult, if not more difficult, okay? And I want to tell you that if you do not trust individuals, your life will not be as fulfilling as it possibly can be. And I will get into that more. So today, the title of today's message is, I Trust You. I want to give you the definition of the word trust. I want to give you some barriers to that word, trust, and barriers to our lives that come up that break down trust that we may have. And then I want to give you the scriptures that we're told to trust in as far as the Lord goes. And in all of that, I'm going to bring a challenge to you. And there may be some of you that disagree with it wholeheartedly, but I'll bring scripture, hopefully, that'll say, hey, no, you need to listen to this. Because I know for a fact that people have issues with trust. Right? People have issues with trust. So this message came about because I was, as a health coach, talking with somebody on the phone, and I was doing an assessment with them. And in that, they said, Mike, I trust you. And I want to tell you something, that resonated deep down inside of me, because that is a powerful word. Yes. When somebody puts their trust in you, right? Yes. So the last thing in the world that I want to do is betray that trust, break that trust, or put any kind of roadblock in the way of that trust. Trust is powerful. Trust is the type of thing that is going to get you out of your comfort zone doing something that you may have not wanted to do before. But you put your trust, right? The Bible tells us we should trust in who? The Lord. Yeah, but I'm bringing a challenge to you. You guys are going to shout me down, or you're going to embrace it, and it's going to be awesome. So the definition of trust is a firm belief in the reliability, truth, ability, or strength of someone or something. Now, I'm here to tell you, as a married man, I would not have any kind of relationship with my wife, any kind of good relationship, that is, if there wasn't trust, right? And if there isn't mutual trust, that relationship is hindered, correct? And so we just even communion today that Pastor Lim brought. We were told that we are in this marriage relationship with Jesus Christ, right? So that means we need to trust the Lord, right? And He already trusts us. That's why He gave His life for us. But there has to be that mutual agreement. I'm here to tell you that if we lack trust in any type or any part of our relationship, that relationship will not be good. It will be ineffective. It will be surface level. It won't be deep. And I'm here to tell you that as a Christian, I want to go deeper and deeper with the Lord, right? But in that, I also want to be able to have a more of a connection with those that I'm around as well. See, something I used to tell my kids growing up, until still to this day, is I tell them, I trust you. Don't give me a reason not to trust you. But the way the world goes is, I don't trust you until you earn it. You see? Because people have been hurt in the past, they now allow that one, two, or three hurts to affect their entire life, and they put these walls and these barriers up. They never allow anybody to get in, and they're always waiting for somebody to earn their trust. How about just trusting? And if it gets betrayed, then you learn and you move on. But the next person, don't put that on them. Trust them too. Step out of your area where you're trying to have your own defense in there, and know that God loves you and has your back. You see, because we've been hurt, we put these defenses in place for a reason. But those defenses keep you from living your best life ever. They keep you from living that abundant life. Because now instead of being in fellowship with other people, you now are isolating yourself. It's me and God and I alone, and that's all I need. And that's not true, and that's not scriptural. You see, we need each other. But if you don't have trust for someone, you'll never be around them. You'll not be able to function and speak and have communication with individuals because trust has been betrayed. Listen, this is an area that has to be healed in the church. It has to get healed over and understand. Trust is just as important as forgiveness. Last week, Pastor Weldon told us that the word mercy in the Hebrew has the same connotation, the same meaning as womb. Now, we have to trust that we are in this womb of God. Amen? We have to trust that God loves us. God's protecting us. God has our best interest in mind. Amen? You see, but what happens is when something bad happens or something happens that you don't like, all of a sudden now you're angry with God and you don't trust God anymore. And where were you, God? And the whole thing is God has the bigger picture and we only have a little portion of it. And when we get our minds wrapped around understanding that God is far greater than we are, but we do have the power of God that lives in us to help us get through these situations and learn to trust God, our lives will be better. Our lives will be enhanced. Our lives will be, we will see our lives worth more than what you may see them now. Yes. Yes. Very good. Your life will be more valuable to you when you step out and trust others. Who's ever been hurt in here before? Boom. Who has ever had their trust betrayed? Who has ever had somebody talk bad about them? Listen, we're not in a shortage of issues, right? But we allow these issues, I'm saying this over and over again, but faith comes by hearing, and I hope you're hearing what I'm saying. We allow these issues to stop us from living life. Are you here to live life? Or are you here to just exist? You're here to live life, right? So that means we have to implement some things in life so that we can walk a more full life, right? Bible says that we're filled with the power and presence of God. We're filled with the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. But we put a dam in place and we stop that fullness from flowing because we allow the worldly issues that happen in life to dictate what's going to take place now in our life. So we don't have full freedom. Worship is amazing. I love worship because I let myself go free in it. And we talk about we're free in the Lord and all this stuff, but the reality is if you are full of distrust, you're not free. Just as the same as if you're full of unforgiveness, you're not free. You're holding on to things. And these things that we're holding on to, sometimes, you know what? I mean, today is a day, man, you just need to allow the fingers to be pried open a little bit. Allow them to be pried open so that you stop holding on to those things. Matter of fact, I want to tell you this, and this is important. I was meditating with God, and this is how he was showing me. Bondage, the word bondage, right? We always talk about, you know, lay your burdens down. Don't be in bondage. We need to understand that to be in bondage is to be shackled, right? To be shackled is to be imprisoned. And to be imprisoned, it's usually our own self-induced prison. So here's the deal. You may say, I'm not in prison, but I do have some bondages. I'm telling you, if you have any bondage, you're in prison. If you have any bondage, you have a prison that you're in. But Jesus came to set us free. And if we don't allow his power to work in us to work through the issues that the world has created, because we're not of the world, right? We're in the world, but we're not of the world. Bible says we're aliens because we've been born again into this beautiful kingdom, right? The kingdom of God. Are you with me? You with me? All right. So either we are living in the kingdom of God with the full presence of God. And the Bible says that in the full presence of God, there's joy, right? In the fullness of God, there's joy. If it says that, but we're not walking in that manner, then we're missing something in our life. And that's where we all need to individually take a look at our life and say, well, what is it exactly that we're missing? Because we always, when we pray for, I don't know how many people I've prayed for and even had this prayed over me. Forgive, forgive. You know, do you have any unforgiveness in your life? Because unforgiveness leads to poor health. Did you know that? Many times if you break through that point of having unforgiveness and find forgiveness, the illnesses, physical illnesses, get healed. It's pretty cool. But I'm here to tell you, if you have trust issues in your life, that will cause the same problem because you're still shackled. You're still in your own prison that you built. Amen. Point the fingers at yourself. You build these prison walls. Circumstances happen in life that make you want to build the walls, but we are the ones that actually construct them. And if we don't break those walls down, we get entombed in that. And do you know what's inside tombs? Dead people. Are you with me? And I'm looking at a bunch of people who are very much alive. So it's time to break the walls down and find the ability to trust individuals. Learning how to trust takes work. It's not easy. To believe is to trust. Did you know that in the Bible when it says I believe, that means also I trust. I trust in, I rely, I cling to, I adhere to. That's the fullness of the word believe. Believe and trust are the same thing. Trust is at the core of every healthy relationship. Every healthy relationship, trust is at that core. So here's some barriers. Here's some barriers to trust. Control. If you or the person you are in a relationship with always wants to be in control, the person that always wants to be in control has trust issues. Hear what I'm saying? Well, I don't know if I can relinquish this job for them to do because I don't know if they're going to do it right. You don't trust them. You hear what I'm saying? Where's my perfectionist in here? A lot of times perfectionists have trust issues. I don't trust that they're going to be able to do it correctly. Listen to what I'm saying, right? That then, listen, if you have the control issue, you're not living in full freedom because you're not allowing the freedom to just, man, just let it happen. It's okay, just let it happen. We'll see what happens. If there's a mess, we'll clean it up later. I'm talking to myself. I'm talking to myself. Parents probably have the biggest control issues when it comes to their kids. Right? Right? Well, I ain't going to let you do that because I know that isn't going to lead to anything good. But it becomes burdensome at time to always parent. Right? Thank God they leave at 18. Yeah. Woo! No, they come back, but no, I didn't. But it is. It is hard to parent. That's why a lot of parents just give up. I've done everything. I've done everything. Just do whatever you want. A lot of parents do, they do that. And that's not healthy. But being in control hinders problems. It causes problems. Hinders your relationship. Self-centeredness. That's another barrier to trust. If you're in a relationship with somebody, this is a friend relationship, a marriage, whatever. If somebody is self-centered, it's all about them. Me, myself, and I, and what I can get. What's mine is mine, and what's hers is mine. You know what I mean? It's like, it's that self-centeredness doesn't allow any trust to be built because the other person is always left out. They're always getting hand-me-downs, secondhand, and that's not good for a relationship. Barrier to trust. Unwilling to be open. Huge. And this is what I've been talking about a lot. You remember the walls I was talking about, how we build walls? When you're unwilling to be open, that means you're unwilling to be vulnerable. And you don't want to be vulnerable because you don't want to get hurt again. I understand. I understand that. I'm there. I'm with you guys, right? But if you're always unwilling to be open, that means you're closed off. And when you're closed off, that means you don't have fullness of life. Are you with me? Okay, It creates issues. You will have trust problems in relationship if you're not willing to be vulnerable. You've got to be vulnerable because, and this is where your peace should come from, it's okay to be vulnerable because my God, everybody say my God, my God will never leave me or forsake me. So I can be vulnerable. If I get hurt, I move on and I'll be vulnerable again because I don't want to build walls. I don't want to be shut down. I don't want to be closed off. I want to step out. Peter stepped out of the boat, man. He was very vulnerable at the moment, but he believed. And he believed, and the word believe is the word trust. Are you with me? We have to be willing to step out of the boat. Take a chance. Nothing great would ever happen in this world with people doing things if they didn't take a chance. But if everybody allowed all the hurts of their lives to stop them from moving forward, we wouldn't go anywhere. Well, none of us would even be at church today. It's a reality. Lack of communication. That goes without saying, right? You don't have communication, you don't have trust. Unforgiveness. I don't have to elaborate on that. If you have unforgiveness in your heart, that means you don't trust. Got to work through that. Lack of empathy. Now, the definition of empathy is the ability to understand and share the feelings of another. We don't get empathetic because we don't really care about other people's feelings a lot of times because it's all about my own feelings. Lack of empathy and self-centeredness go hand in hand. Self-centered, you lack empathy. I don't care what's going on with you, it's me and God. The Bible says God will never leave me or forsake me, so I'm just going to chill with him. I don't care what's going on with you. I don't care what's going on with over there. I don't care about the widow. I don't care about the orphan. I don't care about the imprisoned. I don't care about the down and out. I don't care about that. It's God and I. Lack of empathy. Dishonesty. A dishonest individual. Not a good thing. A lot of times people become dishonest, though, because they have problems with trust. They're afraid to tell the truth because they're afraid if they tell the truth, somebody's not going to like them. And if somebody doesn't like them, then all of a sudden they're not as worthy as they once thought they were. And negativity. Bible says, think on the good things, right? Right? A negative attitude always is going to set the stage for an untrusting relationship. It's always. If you wake up in the morning and it's not good morning, God, but it's, oh God, it's morning. If that is you every single day, that's negativity. And we have to, within ourselves, encourage ourselves. We have to stir up the gift within us. We have to stir up the Spirit of God that's in us. We have to know that this is the day the Lord has made and I will rejoice in it. We have to do that. We have to allow the Spirit of God to move in our lives. We have to make the decision to put a smile on our face instead of frown. And God is really cool. He created the muscles that we need to smile are easier to use than the muscles needed to frown. That's how God created us, man. It's really cool. Without even knowing that a smile is a good thing, when somebody smiles, you instinctively know they're happy. Isn't that cool? Nobody had to tell me that a smile is good. I just knew smiles are cool, right? Think about it. If you were like never around anybody before and all of a sudden they were like, hey, it's like, well, that looks friendly. That looks friendly. We're supposed to trust God. And I'm going to give you some scriptures about that. Before I go there, Chaplain Chuck wants to open his Bible today. So I'm going to say turn your Bibles to 1 John 4:20-21. You got it. Yeah, it is in the handout, right? And we did challenge you to bring your Bibles and take notes. So, anyways, before we get into that scripture, though, this is the challenge that I want to bring to you. And this is what was laid in my heart this week as I was studying on these things. We develop our relationship with God based on our relationship with people. We develop our relationship with God based on our relationship with people. If we have a poor relationship with people, then our relationship with God will be hindered. That doesn't mean you're not saved. That doesn't mean that you can't pray. But I'm here to tell you, if you got a better relationship with people, you'll be more inclined to pray to God because you're learning how to communicate. You see, we didn't come out of the womb communicating with God. We came out of the womb learning how to communicate with people. Do you hear what I'm saying?
Yep.
Everything that we do with people enhances our relationship with God. If you have trust issues with people, chances are you won't have the full trust in God. If you have unforgiveness towards people, chances are you'll hinder some unforgiveness and things that happens in life and blame God. If you don't have love for people, your love won't be full as it can be with God. If you have problems communicating with people, you'll have problems communicating with God. Everything that we do based on our relationship with God is based on how we have a relationship with people. Scripture says, 1 John 4, 20-21, if anyone boasts, I love God, and goes right on hating his brother or sister, thinking nothing of it, he is a liar. If he won't love the person he can see, how can he love the God he can't see? The command we have from Christ is blunt. Love God includes loving people. You've got to love both. That's out of the Message Bible, but it says pretty much the same thing in all your other translations. Listen, how we develop our relationship with people is how our relationship with God is going to be. This is why it's important to forgive. This is why it's important to trust. Because trust, belief, faith, they all go together, right? And that is what the foundation of our Christian walk is based on. So the challenge is, if there's people in your life that you have put barriers or walls up and you're afraid to just openly just trust somebody until something happens, I challenge you to move past that. So there's people, and maybe not you here because you're in church, maybe there's people on Facebook right now today watching who aren't in a church service because they don't want to be around people, because if they're around them, they're going to have to communicate, be with them, and they have maybe trust issues created by the world, not by God. Amen? So as we move on with Scripture, Proverbs 3:5 says, trust the Lord with all your heart and do not rely on your own understanding. That, when I was first saved, wasn't very easy to do. But the more on fire I got for God, the easier that was for me to do. Matter of fact, the easier it was, because in knowing that I'm going to trust in Him with all my heart and not lean on what I'm thinking, I knew that He had bigger plans. I knew that He had greater plans. I don't even know about them, but I'm grateful that I'm in the womb of the mercy of God, being protected as I go through these things. Psalms 9:10 says, those who know your name trust you, O Lord, because you have never deserted those who seek your help. Trust is huge, guys. Psalms 13:5. But I trust your mercy. My heart finds joy in your salvation. Psalms 56:3. Even when I am afraid, I still trust you. Anybody ever use that scripture or feel that before? Even when I am afraid, I still trust you. Here's the deal. If you right now, if this message today has scratched a little something on you that says, man, I hear what you're saying, but man, I don't know if I can do that. I don't know if I can break those walls down. Start brick by brick. Yeah. You don't have to take a wrecking ball to it right now, but start somewhere. And then go to the scripture that says, Psalms 56:3, even when I'm afraid, I still trust you. I go to Psalms 23 all the time, verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. There are evil things that happen in this world. But we shouldn't allow the evil things of this world to stop us from living life. Yeah? Psalms 84:12, O Lord of armies, blessed is the person who trusts you. And I close with this scripture. Simple and easy today, guys. Almost like a prayer. Romans 15:13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with the hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Let's close in prayer. Stand to your feet. Father, as we prepare to close right now in prayer, I do speak your perfect word in Romans 15:13. Right now, Lord, I do pray, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with the hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Father, I thank you that you have given us a hope, and this hope is not a wish, but it's a confident hope in knowing you. Father, we trust you. We believe in you. We have faith, Father. We trust right now, Lord, that your Son Jesus Christ died for our sin and it's been covered. We thank you right now and trust in you, Lord, that you love us and you loved us so much, you loved us to the cross. Father, we love you and trust you so much right now that we know that you are working all things out to the good. Even though it may not look good at times, you're working them out to good. We trust you in that, Lord. And Father, we just love you and thank you that you have given us your creation, people that have been created in your image and likeness, has the ability to practice on how we should trust. So, Father, I pray that we would not walk in fear today, but we would walk in full hope and trust. Lord, and that we would step out of our comfort zone and that we would grow from where we are right now into a newer dimension. In Jesus' glorious name, and all in agreement said, amen. God bless you and have a beautiful day.